What a stunning passage. My name is Yi Cheng, and for those who don't know me, 所有中文堂的好朋友，如果你们想要听到中文的正道呢，等一下你可以扫那个 QR 嘛，然后呢可以听，或者是等一下屏幕上呢也都会有翻译的字幕。So dear friends and family, human beings have always felt the deep mystery of death and the pain of grief across cultures and generations. People gather to remember those who have died, to honor their lives, and to support one another in sorrow. Now today we gather on Good Friday, not to remember an ordinary life, but to remember the death of Jesus Christ. In many ways, that we are living in the most blessed time in history. We have seen how the words of the prophets were fulfilled in Jesus, and we hold the scripture in our hands, and we have seen the gospel spread to the ends of the earth. We know the story. And that is why every year we come to this day, we sing songs, we reflect on the cross, and we say, Jesus died for me. He is the Son of God. And yet today, we also stand before the reality of death. For Christians, death is not the end. We believe in God, the source and giver of life, who has revealed his love through Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself entered into the death and very death we remember today. He walked the path of suffering, bore the weight of sin, and gave his life on the cross. But Good Friday is not only a day of sorrow. It is also a day filled with hope, because the one who died is also the one who would rise again, overcoming the power of death. And because of him, we hold on the promise of eternal life. So as we gather today, we are going to do more than just remember, but to reflect on the questions of, do we really know Jesus, or do we simply know about him? In the passage that we read, we see people who encountered Jesus. They saw him, they heard him, and some even walked with him. And yet, they responded in completely different ways. The passage that we read today is like a mirror. It does not just tell us who they are, but it also shows who we are. When we look closely at this passage, the one thing that becomes very clear is when pressure comes, most people fall. As Jesus walked towards the cross, people respond in very different ways. Some fall asleep. One betrayed him. Some run. Some denied him. Some reject him. One compromise, and some mock him. And yet, even in this darkness, a few begins to respond with courage, and few began to see clearly. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "I deeply grieved, even to death," verse 34 tells us. This is not just fear of suffering, but he is about to carry the weight of the sin of the whole world on himself. Jesus prays, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." But while he is praying, the disciples fall asleep. Not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus tells them, keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all know they love Jesus, but they were not spiritually awake. Then Jesus is arrested because of the betrayal of one, Judas, the one who followed Jesus day and night as a disciple. And everything began to fall apart. All of them deserted him and fled. Everyone ran. Even a young man ran away, leaving everything behind. Because when following Jesus become costly, people leaves. Then we see Peter. Just hours earlier, Peter said, I will never deny you. And he meant it. He really thought that he could stand. But just hours later, standing in a courtyard surrounded by strangers, he says, I do not know this person. Then a rooster crowed. And in that moment, Jesus turned and looked at him. That look is not anger, but it carries the pain of Peter's failure and the love that refuses to let him go. And Peter remembers. He remembers the word of Jesus, and he breaks down. He weeps. The religious leaders know the scriptures, but they want Jesus dead. Pilate knows something is wrong, but he gives it to the crowd. The crowd shouts, crucify him. The soldier mock him, hail King of Jews. They turn him into a joke. And yet, not everyone responds the same way. Some women are still there. Verse 40 tells us there were also women looking on from far distance. They have not left, but they are not near. Then Joseph of Arimathea stepped forward. He took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, while others steps back. He steps forward. And finally, a Roman centurion looks at the cross and says, truly, this man was God's son, the Son of God. Not a disciple, not a leader, but an outsider. And yet he sees. As he watched how Jesus died, not with anger, not with fear, but with surrender. We see a wide range of responses when we look at all these people. And if we are honest, we may begin to see a bit of ourselves in some of them. But the story of Good Friday is not only about human failure. It is about something far greater. While everyone else is falling apart, one person remains faithful. And that is Jesus. In Gethsemane, he prays, Abba, Father, not what I want, but what you want. This is not calm. This is not easy, but this is the ultimate surrender. Jesus knows what the cup means. In the Bible, the cup is often a picture of God's judgment. And Jesus is about to drink it for us. It is not just suffering, but it is a judgment. It is bearing the sins of the whole world on himself. And it is about the separation from God, the Abba Father. He's about to stand in the place of sinner. As we read earlier from Isaiah, it says, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our inequities. upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But yet, Jesus moved forward. While people reject him, mocked him, denied him, he does not turn away. Jesus did not go to the cross just to show love, but he went because sin had to be dealt with. We all know that sin is real. It separates us from God, and it carries consequences. And on the cross, Jesus stepped into our place. 1 Peter teaches us he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in the body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By the wound you have been healed, for you were going astray like a sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Friends, Jesus, he takes what we deserve so that we can receive what we could never earn. And this is why cross matters. This is why he had to go. Take a moment, friends, and look at the cross. Can you imagine seeing him there, not running away, not defending himself, but staying there for you? This is mercy. This is grace. This is love. Jesus died for the sleeping disciples, for the denying Peter, for the compromising Pilate, for the mocking soldiers, for the shouting crowd, for the one who betrayed him, and for all of us here today. So the question today is not just which person that we are like in the passage that we read. Because if we are honest, we might recognize that in different moments of our lives, we respond in some of these same ways. Sometimes we fall asleep. Sometimes we run. Sometimes we deny. Sometimes we compromise. The real question is, where and when are you going to stop? Will you remain asleep? Are you going to keep running away from him? Or keep hiding from him? Or will you be like the centurion and finally see? Maybe you see yourself in Peter or in the disciple, asleep when you should be praying. Perhaps that you have been running when following Jesus has become costly. Maybe you have been keeping your distance, watching from far. Or maybe that you have only now beginning to see. At the beginning, I asked the question, do we really know Jesus? Or do we simply know about him? And this morning at the cross, we are invited to know him, to enter his presence, and to bring our need to Him. Not just in our mind, but in a real and living way. Wherever you are, Jesus is inviting you to come to Him. Don't run. You don't need to run. You don't need to hide anymore. Because in Him, we are freed from our sin. The same Jesus who was rejected, the same Jesus who was denied, the same Jesus who was led to the cross is the same Jesus who is going to meet you here today, right at this moment. Come, take a step, turn to Him. And as we stand here at the foot of the cross, we invite the Holy Spirit to come, to open up our eyes, to soften our hearts, to help us not only know about Jesus, but truly know Him. And in the shadow of the cross, let us receive the love and mercy that was given for you through the cross. And I'll invite you to take a moment. Let's close our eyes. Let's reflect on the passage that we read today. And let's ask Holy Spirit to come and help us to move towards Jesus, to turn our eyes up on Him. Lord Jesus, today we come before You just as we are. We recognize that at times we have been like those in the scripture. We have been weak. We have been afraid. We have held back. And yet You did not turn away from us. You choose the cross for us. So today we respond to Your love. Help us to come back to You honestly. Help us to be awakened spiritually. And help us to follow You with courage, even in small steps. Thank You that Your love does not depend on our strength, but on Your grace and mercy. And today, Lord, we want to say, we give ourselves to You again. In Jesus' name we pray.